is Sid Sports Sunday. Driven by Ramsey Mazda. Around the country. Around New York. The stories you're talking about. The stats you need.
Blitz is on and Peterman's throw. And that's another takeaway for the Bears. Leonard Floyd with a touchdown for Chicago.
The edge you need.
Jones has four catches for 68 yards on third down. Falcons. They convert another one. And it's some.
These are the moments you won't forget.
Mahomes sets up the screen. Hunt. 30. 20. Touchdown, Chiefs.
This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda on 77 WABC.
It's a play fake. And Darnold intercepted, threw it right in the arms of Kiko Alonso. And Alonso out of bounds.
Now, Sid Rosenberg.
Stealing a line from my good friend Chuck Todd on Meet the Press. Welcome to Sunday. It's Sid Sports Sunday here on 77 WABC. And we want to start right now by wishing all of our brave servicemen and women a happy Veterans Day. This is one of the most important days of the year. You know, doing this show and watching football and basketball today, that's a freedom. And that is a freedom that is afforded to us because of the courage of our young men and women fighting all over the world. So on this Sid Sports Sunday, we start by saying happy Veterans Day and thank you. So for the second straight week here on Sid Sports Sunday, we're starting with an interview. We don't usually do that, but last week, of course, it was Marathon Sunday. And my friend Tiki Barber ran the marathon. By the way, my wife Danielle beat him by 30 minutes. But it was perfect because Tiki was running the marathon. We got a chance to talk about the Giants. So Tiki worked out well. Now, later on in the program today, we're going to talk to Jason Stark, writes for The Athletic. He's on the MLB Network, like Brian Kenny is. Has his own show on Stadium TV. And we'll talk to Sean O'Hara, the former Giant, as the Giants get set to take on San Francisco tomorrow night. But we are going to start with some baseball and some other stuff today with Brian Kenny. Brian has always been a favorite of mine, always great on my radio shows for many years down in Florida. Of course, he's the host of MLB Now, a great show on the MLB Network. And whether he's doing baseball or boxing, he's one of the most knowledgeable and nicest guys you'll ever meet. And I'm proud to have him on Sid Sports Sunday. Brian, welcome to the show, pal. How are you?
Sid, I love you too. Good to speak to you again.
I love you too, and I'm excited because I get to see you coming up this Thursday night. Is the annual Teddy Atlas Foundation dinner on Staten Island, which I've been to many times. Last year, you were the host, you and Papa. You're always great at that. But this year, it's even extra special, Brian, because me and Bernie are about to receive the annual Jack Newfield Award. How cool is that?
I tell you what, that is each year. One, I love, you know, hosting the foundation dinner for Teddy. People should Google it. You know, it's Dr. Theodore Atlas Foundation, and they can look at, because all Teddy's organization does is help people in New York City. That's all they do, like low overhead. They just help people. And I knew Jack Newfield in the last, like, decade of his life. Max Kellerman and I would be, you know, kicking around New York City, and Jack was always around. And to win that award, Sid, is very prestigious. Jack was the champion of the underdog. He held power accountable. He went after people that abused power and stood up for the little people out there, was a friend of Bobby Kennedy, was a terrific journalist, a courageous journalist, and it's a great honor. And I'm glad that Teddy has that award, in that we can continue to speak of the late, great Jack Newfield.
Oh, that sounds awesome, Brian Kenny. By the way, this is a week 10 of the NFL. Our stringers are ready to go. Pittsburgh started the week putting up 52 against Carolina. Five more touchdown passes for Ben Roethlisberger. And don't look now, but the Steelers at 6-2-1 are right there with Kansas City and New England as the cream of the crop inside the AFC. We'll get do all the football. Brian, one thing about boxing, though, you've been so great with boxing for so many years, and I was really upset when I found out a couple of weeks ago that HBO will no longer do boxing. I don't know if Showtime is going to do it either. What about these major cable networks just saying no to boxing?
Well, I was surprised with that, too. Look, I had only 2 months prior signed on to do blow-by-blow for DAZN. That is the new streaming service. I call fights for DAZN with Sugar Ray Leonard. We're going to be calling Canelo Alvarez at the Garden December 15th.
Wow.
So we're part of that next wave that HBO saw and took their exit. But, of course, I was, you know, stunned and sad. I also grew up watching HBO boxing, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, Larry Holmes, then Mike Tyson, of course, who I was in camp with in Catskill in the 80s. So, yeah, no, I mean, they had a great tradition. I understand where they're going because maybe boxing is so widespread on so many different platforms and people already expect to pay for boxing. So it is very conducive to the streaming service. So the writing was on the wall, but I was surprised they cashed it in that all that tradition, you know, I think a little prematurely, but that's the corporate decision.
They also have to do better with their programming because I got to tell you, just for me, Brian, my wife and I, we are stuck on Netflix. Netflix show, whether it's Ozark, whether it's Atypical, it doesn't matter, Shameless on Showtime. So they need to start to concentrate. You know, the days of The Sopranos and Sex and the City, they're long gone, you know. So maybe it's time for HBO to start really concentrating on some of their programming to keep up with the rest of these places like Netflix and Amazon and the rest of that stuff. Hey, let's talk baseball, Brian. The Boston Red Sox started out sprinting. They jumped out of the gate early, and lots of times those teams don't make it all the way to the finish. But they were like Secretariat. They ran out early, and no one caught them. Were you surprised when it was all said and done, Brian, that the Red Sox were that good from beginning to end?
Well, yeah. They initially, yes, definitely. I mean, I figured they would be good, but you're right in that it is especially difficult, one, to win 108 games, even in this era where there are the haves and have-nots, and certainly the teams that are on top have become super teams. But it's another thing to lose just one game in each round of the playoffs against behemoths. The Yankees were a great team. They're not good. They're a great team. The Astros are a great team. Not good. They're great. Dodgers are an outstanding team. Another, you know, monster super team. And they went, you know, 3-1, 4-1, 4-1. So they're like up there now. I think, you know, the consensus is, like in the divisional era, we were talking about this on MLB Now, how many teams from 1969 on would you rank ahead of these Red Sox? What would you say off the top of your head?
Well, I got to go with the Yankee team that won 125.
98 Yankees, I think, are definitely number one. Big Red Machine,
yes.
84 Tigers, 86 Mets. But there's not that, you know, Cubs, you know, 2 years ago also had a massive run differential. But I think they're in that conversation with, you know, the 1970 Orioles. They're in a conversation in the rare air.
Well, that's true. But, and a lot of those teams you just mentioned, by the way, Brian, were one and dones. I mean, the Mets especially, they got back to the NLCS 2 years later in 88 and lost to the Dodgers. The only team that really maintained great success was the Reds, the Big Red Machine. And I wonder,
yeah.
Right. Well, the Yankees too, with Joe Torre, right. I wonder, is this Red Sox team now, the way they are designed, the way the roster is designed, do you expect them to be a team to be reckoned with for many, many years?
Well, yes, but it's also very difficult in this particular era to just dominate. I think it's harder than ever in that this is the era of super teams.
Especially when you know that the Yankees will have money this year with the luxury tie, with the tax, with the money, and the fact that they lost out. 100-win season somehow became a disappointment for the Yanks. So the angry Yankees are lurking right behind them.
Oh, and the Astros are tremendous, and the Cubs are tremendous, and the Dodgers are reloading. The Indians have superstar talent up and down. They could be knocked off by anybody. Only 2 years ago, Sid, we were saying this is going to be the era of the Cubs, But and last year, the Astros were monstrous, and they were even better this year, and they're going to be better next year. So, yes, there's an upper echelon now of these super teams because of the economics of the sport that we are going to – we're in, look, playoff baseball is better than ever. I'm convinced of that. Every round is an epic, you know, duel between great teams. So the Red Sox can be even better next year. But does that mean they're going to repeat? No. Yankees can just beat them wire to wire next year. They're young. They're talented. They're right there. And I would say, I think the Astros, it's the Vegas odds, too. The Astros are still the favorite to win it all next year.
Well, they need some pitching. If they lose Keuchel, you know they got Cole and Verlander. They do need pitching. And by the way, the Indians may be dealing Corey Kluber. So this is going to be a very exciting offseason, Brian Kenny, MLB Now, and see how these teams do, in fact, reload if they lose some of their talent. I will ask you this. Many years ago, you and I got in a big fight on the air. It wasn't a real fight. We love each other, but it was about the MVP. And if my memory serves me correct, I think I wanted Cabrera because he was about to win the Triple Crown, and you wanted Trout because he was a better player. And I fought with you, and I fought with Boog, and all these guys, Keith Law. I'm not sure who was right in the end, but with the awards coming up next week, is there anybody, maybe a Yelich in Milwaukee, a Betts in Boston, a DeGrom with the Mets, is there anybody you think that may win one of these awards that, according to your baseball philosophy, should not win it?
Well, one, Sid, may I point out, I know who was right in 2012.
You know what, Brian? I'm a big enough man to admit you are right, yes.
There you go. You know, and I'm now, since you said that, I'm going to do the honor of shutting up and letting it go. Okay, we're done with that. We're done with 2012. that's the benefit I'll give you. I said that to my wife. I will now shut up and just move on.
That's why you're married a long time, like me, 26
right.
years.
Stay married. Just shut up and move on.
That's right.
So, I think, you know what? The only interesting thing is, and I'm not dying on this hill, as they say, the only interesting thing really is, could you make a case for Jacob DeGrom being the MVP? Like, because it narrowed to Christian Yelich, right, among the hitters. Matt Carpenter fell off a little bit, so did Paul Goldschmidt. Yelich had a great run, and I'm perfectly good with Yelich as the MVP, and should be. Defense was outstanding. Lorenzo Cain was right there with him, was better defensively, and he's running as good, but Yelich hit so much better. I'm really good with Yelich winning the MVP. However, lots of people in the sabermetric community will say, hey, if you go by overall value, wins above replacement or otherwise, the innings and dominance of Jacob DeGrom makes him actually the best player in the National League.
Wow.
I wouldn't hang my hat on it, but I think they have a point. And you could I want a pitcher to be so dominant with so many innings that it overwhelms the field. In the real world, I'd vote Yelich, but I understand someone saying, nope, the best player this year, National League, was actually Jacob DeGrom.
How is Miguel Andujar for the Yankees going to feel when he wins the Rookie of the Year next week and he's replaced in 15 minutes by Manny Machado?
Well, I wouldn't do that. If I'm the Yankees, I stay in love with Andujar and Torres, excellent young players who, you know, make sense financially. And by the way, extend them and make them rich. Give them contract extensions as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Make them rich. But I would leave Manny Machado alone.
Why? Is it because of his attitude? This is a good Yankee clubhouse. They're good guys. He certainly showed himself to be a jerk. No other way to put it, Manny, during this postseason. And I'll have the same conversation with Jason Stark coming up next hour. But is that the reason why, his attitude?
I would say this. I famously try to stay out of the clubhouse chemistry stuff, right?
Yeah,
and is he a good guy? And I don't care. And I'll say this for Machado. He shows up and he plays.
Right.
And he gives you a high volume of work. If I'm a team like Joel Sherman, who's on MLB Now a lot, had said this, that he'd written something about, hey, the Mets would benefit from Machado. I agree. The White Sox would benefit from Machado. I agree. If you're a little weak, Machado makes you strong, right? You need that foundation of production, and he gives it to you, and he plays shortstop. He can play third base, a great third base, an adequate shortstop. He's great. If I'm a contending team, I would be concerned about him and his intensity. And Sid, I don't care. If you hit a ball to the wall and it bounces and you're on first base, I have a problem. Everybody in the postseason tournament is fighting for every single base. I want my superstar $30 million a year player fighting for every base in October, not in June when he has a hamstring tweak, when he's, you know, I'm not one of these guys, Sid, that why didn't Bryce Harper run that out? Bryce Harper blew out his knee last year. I don't want him fighting for every single and then lose him for a month and a half. But in October,
yeah.
Can you run? Can you run on a fly ball that might go out? Can you not punch a second baseman in the groin as you slide in? That's not even to benefit anybody. He wasn't even taking a guy out to take an extra base. Like, Chase Utley will break your leg, but he's looking for the base.
Right.
Like, Machado is just doing things, stepping on a guy's Achilles tendon as you run by. What is going on? Like, no, focus. Focus.
Yep.
I don't want it.
No, I agree.
Don't want it.
I agree. I agree with everything you just said. So lastly, we'll close with this. Mike Francesa locally has Brody Van Wagenen on the new Met GM, and he kills him a couple of weeks ago. Just kills the poor guy. Going on and on. Well, you're not this. You're not the Braves. I want to remind Mike Francesa, the last 2 months of the season, Mets had a better record. Mets played some very good baseball. Now, we know the issues, right? We know that Cespedes, he's never healthy. Some of the starters, they get nicked up, too. It was an awful year for Jay Bruce, who just got a ton of money. But the numbers are there. The Mets actually played pretty good baseball the last couple of months. Does that bode well for the Met band entering 2019?
Oh, I think so. And I would say this. I think there is a good chance Brody Van Wagenen will be an excellent GM. I think what we've seen over the last two decades in baseball is that smart wins. And Brody Van Wagenen, he was an agent, but he has been around the game for a long time. He understands the basic principles. He is obviously a charismatic fellow who it appears, at the very least, is someone who works well with others, and that is the job. It's not, you know, he doesn't have to be a math wizard, and also he doesn't have to be a former major league outfielder. The skills for a major league general manager are very different from the skills of being a ball player or a math wonk. You need to hire smart people, let them do their jobs, and you need to have a mission. I get the sense from everything, and when I talk, we interviewed him on MLB Now, like the day he that was announced, and when I asked him, hey, give me something real with this analytics, and not just paying lip service to, oh, we're going to bolster our analytics department, blah, blah, blah. What are you really interested in? His answer surprised me. It came down to the pitch-by-pitch war of information and arming your pitchers and your hitters with the latest info, which with pitch sequencing, with pitch design, and that is where the rubber, Sid, meets the road these days in Major League Baseball. It's not, you heard a lot of players talk about an information gap. They would be traded from one team to another, and when a player arrives at the Yankees, the Indians, the Astros, and the Dodgers, they can't believe the new edge they gain in information to do their jobs. So you've got to catch up to that. And I got the sense Brody Van Wagenen is at least aware of that and will try to have the Mets catch up.
What a great conversation, Brian. I can't wait to see you on Thursday night on Staten Island. You're not a good interview. You're a great interview. Your show is great. I watch MLB Now every day on MLB Network. And it's great to talk to you again, buddy. I love you. Thank you.
Sid, it's a pleasure. Always good talking to you. Best of luck.
Thank you. The great Brian Kenny. Back on Sid Sports Sunday. We'll go live to the big games for NFL Week number 10 right after this.
77 WABC. Free Sid, free sports thinking on demand on the free WABC radio app. Better, faster, stronger.
It is a week 10 of the NFL. It did start Thursday with the Steelers winning by over 30 and putting up 52 against Carolina. Five more touchdowns for Ben Roethlisberger. Looks like Le'Veon Bell, by the way, Le'Veon Bell, is not going to show up by Tuesday. His season is going to be over, but it's an exciting week 10 coming up today. And after that great baseball conversation with Brian Kenny, we'll do some football. Around the League brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Upgrade your boiler with a 95% efficient Peerless Boiler Combi. Start saving big on your hot and heat water bills today. Go to peerlessboilers.com, put in your zip code. You'll find a friendly dealer near you. Remember, Peerless Boilers, America's best built boilers. Game one, what a matchup this is. Both rookie quarterbacks are out. This is Around the League, of course. Thank you. Thank you, Bruce and Gunzelman. Both rookie quarterbacks are out as the football Jets at 3-6. Get ready to take on the 2-7 Buffalo Bills at MetLife. Peter Schwartz, formerly of WFAN, now CBS, a day after celebrating his son Bradley's bar mitzvah last night. Mazel tov. Peter Schwartz is here to talk about the Jets and the Bills. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Sid, and thank you. Bradley did a wonderful job last night, and I think there might have been more people at the bar mitzvah last night than they're going to be at MetLife Stadium this afternoon to see this game today. And obviously, from a Jets perspective, three losses in a row, it seems like it was, you know, decades ago that their winning streak of two games got them back to 500. But obviously, the wheels have come off a little bit the last few weeks. And you mentioned before, Sam Darnold not going to play today for the Jets because of that foot injury. So Josh McCown is going to be leading the Jets against Nate Peterman and the Bills. And obviously, when you look.
Wow, we lost Peter there. And I don't think it's Nate Peterman, by the way. I think it's Matt Barkley that's going to get the start for the Buffalo Bills. Not sure why we lost him, but we'll get back to Peter in a bit. Let's go up to Nissan Stadium where the Tennessee Titans are getting set to take on the red-hot New England Patriots. Terry McCormack writes for TitansInsider.com. It's the 4-4 Titans, fresh off their Monday night win over Dallas, taking on the red-hot 7-2 New England Patriots. Good morning, Terry.
How are you? The 4-4 Tennessee Titans today take on the New England Patriots, who are 7-2, but will be without Rob Gronkowski. So that's one edge that the Titans will have here, as Tom Brady has not lost to Tennessee since 2002, the only time he lost to them ever. Titans have the number one red zone defense in the league. They're allowing a league-low 141 points through eight games. The problem has been the offense, because they've scored only 134 points. An inconsistency there in the wide receiver core, injuries to Marcus Mariota, and a running game that has been up and down has all led to the Titans being 4-4 rather than riding that defense to a much better record. The big matchup that people are going to watch today, as people call the Titans Patriots South, is the number of former New England Patriots players now on the Tennessee roster, most notably Malcolm Butler, who signed a $61 million deal in the offseason after being benched in the Super Bowl, and he has played very poorly this year thus far because he's been burned for both touchdowns the other night in Dallas on Monday Night Football, and it seems like he's trying to hit the home run, trying to make a big play on every down, and he's ended up looking like Joey Gallo, just striking out a lot and giving up a lot of big plays.
All right, thank you very much for that. Titans and Patriots, that was Terry McCormick. The weather is cold in New York City today. I know I was shivering walking to the 1 train early this morning. Weather starts to play a factor this time of year. The Miami Dolphins, they like it warm. They're at a very cold Lambeau Field today in Green Bay. Green Bay's got a losing record. They got to be angry, Aaron Rodgers, at 3-4-1. The Dolphins, somehow, they're 5-4. Ryan Wood, WSSP, in Green Bay at Lambeau Field, where the Packers are set to host the Dolphins. Good morning, Ryan.
This is Ryan Wood from the frozen tundra in Green Bay, where the Miami Dolphins have the better record at 5-4, but the 3-4-1 Packers are the heavy favorite. Losers in three of their past four games, the Packers have arrived at must-win time in their 2018 season. They're in the midst of a brutal stretch on their schedule, with the Thursday night trip to Seattle looming later this week after traveling to the Los Angeles Rams and New England Patriots the past 2 weeks. Could they possibly overlook the team with the more wins on their docket? It won't be easy for Miami, as backup Brock Osweiler makes his fifth straight start in place of Ryan Tannehill. It's Osweiler's second trip to the Lambeau Field, his first coming in a 21-13 Packers win late in the 2016 season. With their season slipping away, the Packers better hope they can duplicate history today. For Sid Sports Sunday, this is Ryan Wood. Back to you, Sid.
Thank you, Ryan. By the way, last look, the Packers are a 10-point favorite over the Dolphins. Huge NFC East rivalry matchup tonight. Great game, although Dallas now at 3-5. That loss Monday really hurt with Amari Cooper coming over. Taking on the reigning Super Bowl champion, 4-4, Philadelphia Eagles. It's the Cowboys and the Eagles from the Link. Later on tonight, our very good buddy, the great Harry Mays, joins us live. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning, Sid. It's what we call Dallas Week here in Philadelphia, and there's some debate if it means as much now that the Eagles fans have their Super Bowl trophy. But everybody knows that a win tonight will set the Eagles up for a second-half playoff run and a run at the NFC East crown. Tonight marks the debut of Golden Tate in an Eagles uniform. He'll be wearing number 19. Tate's going to join a group of primarily slot receivers with Nelson Agholor and Jordan Matthews, all who've excelled from the slot position. So it's going to be interesting to see how Doug Peterson employs this group. But Tate's game will be an extension of the Eagles' run game, and Tate has already burned the Cowboys for 132 yards on 8 catches, including 2 touchdowns back in week 4 for the Lions. Dallas comes in off a short week, having lost 2 straight, including last Monday night to Tennessee, where they were shut out in the second half. Look for a heavy dose of Ezekiel Elliott tonight, simply because the Cowboys have trouble stretching the field, and Zeke is averaging 4.6 yards a carry. Injuries include Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson, who's listed as questionable but will go. He's battling a knee injury to his MCL. Lane's going to have his hands full with DeMarcus Lawrence, one of the premier pass rushers in the league. Lawrence has 6.5 sacks on the season and a forced fumble. Also make note, Carson Wentz has fumbled the ball in every game this season. Now, the Eagles will also be down 2 defensive backs as cornerbacks Jalen Mills and Sidney Jones are out. Also, Darren Sproles will miss his 8th straight game with a hamstring. Interesting note here, Peterson said earlier this week that Sproles was going to be able to play, so they released punt returner DeAndre Carter, who was immediately snatched up by the Texans, only to have Sproles re-injure the hamstring. So the thought is that Golden Tate will be the punt returner tonight. Dallas will be without Sean Lee again. Left guard Connor Williams is out, as is defensive tackle David Irving, wide receiver Tavon Austin, and defensive end Taco Charlton. Now, it's been a long time since the Eagles have won at home. Prior to the season, this season, the Birds under Peterson were dominant at Lincoln Financial Field, but not so this year. They're 2-2 at home and haven't won since September the 23rd. That was week 3 over the Colts. But the home crowd will be looking for a performance similar to last year off the bye as the Eagles crushed the Cowboys 37-9 in Dallas. Eagles a healthy 7.5-point favorite. The total sitting at 44. Going to be cold but clear tonight with temperatures in the 30s. Reporting from Philadelphia for Sid Sports Sunday, I'm Harry Mays.
Thank you, Harry. Los Angeles, the Rams did suffer their first loss of the season last week in that great game against the New Orleans Saints. Still a very formidable 8-1 taking on a Seattle Seahawks team that usually plays the Rams very, very tough. Seahawks are 4-4, a 9-point underdog later on this afternoon. My very first ever partner in this business and still doing a fantastic job at the mighty 1090 in San Diego alongside Billy Ray Smith. Scott Kaplan has the latest. It's the Rams and Seahawks later on today. Good morning, Cap.
Well, good morning, Sydney. It is very early here in Southern California. And as you mentioned, when the Seahawks and the Rams play, they usually play close games. Week 5 earlier this season, 33-31 Rams over the Seahawks in Seattle. This is it for Seattle. They're 4-4, as you mentioned. It's now or never for Seattle. You either win and get back in somehow to the playoff picture, or you lose and the rest of the schedule is going to crush the Seahawks. They've got problems at the running back position. Chris Carson, their second-year running back, 7th-round draft choice out of Oklahoma State, is injured, not likely to play. They want to run the ball so much, Seattle, and another problem for them is that their offensive guard, DJ Fluker, is hurt, and who knows, he's questionable right now. So you got problems in the running game for Seattle. On the L.A. side, though, Sid, look for a very emotional week. As you well know, there was a massacre here in Thousand Oaks. There's the massive fires that are going on. All of this impacts the immediate area right around where the Rams call home and where they train up in the Thousand Oaks area. So a very emotional game today for the Rams. Andrew Whitworth, their offensive lineman, the captain of that group, has donated his game check to all of the victims' families of the shooting. So it's going to be an emotional day in Los Angeles. You got Pete Carroll returning. You got a desperate Seattle team. You've got an L.A. team that's going to go on the road at Mexico City next week and play Kansas City. So L.A. looking to get back on the winning side. 9-point home favorites. But like you say, these two teams usually play very close games. Back to you, Sid.
Scott, great job. Thank you. Really great job. And Scott's right, that shooting in Thousand Oaks, which affected all of us. We saw that dad, of course, the next morning. Some of the most heartbreaking video I've ever seen. We'll do one more. WABC, one of our very own, legendary here in New York television, many years, WFAN, great friend of the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. Russ Salzburg is live in studio this morning. The Giants get back at it tomorrow night, taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Do or die, it looks like, for Eli Manning. At least that's what Coach Pat Shurmur intimated this week. Russ, it's the 1-7 Giants taking on the 2-7 San Francisco 49ers. What do you see?
Well, good morning, Sid. As my late great dear friend Yogi Berra would say, it is deja vu all over again. November 12th, 2017, Giants go into San Francisco to play the 49ers with a record of 1-7. Tomorrow night, again November 12, this time 2018, Giants again go into Frisco, again with a record of 1-7. Last year, they lost. And to see that the result will be different this time around, Giants have made significant changes along their much maligned offensive line. 340-pound Jamon Brown, acquired during their bye week from the Rams, is expected to start at right guard, while Patrick Omame, who started the season at right guard, was waived on Saturday.
How about that? Two of the starting offensive linemen for the Giants week one already both cut by the Giants.
Got to cut your losses. Now, how badly, Sid, is Brown needed? From a passing game standpoint, we know all about Eli Manning, that he's been sacked 31 times, but get a load of these numbers for the Big Blue running game, Sid. Rookie of the Year candidate Saquon Barkley has rushed for 519 yards on 111 carries. Sounds pretty good, right? Well, Barkley's seven longest runs this season total 266 yards. That means the other 104 carries produced just 253 yards. Opponents simply don't respect the Giants' running game, which therefore allows opposing defenses to concentrate on pressuring Eli and their passing game. To quote head coach Pat Shurmur prior to this season, said, "We'll go as far as the offensive line will take us. Right now at 1-7, that hasn't been very far." For Sid Sports Sunday, I'm Russ Salzberg.
Excellent job, Russ. We'll take a short break. When we get back, we'll do some more baseball. All the awards are coming out this week. Rookie of the Year, Cy Young, MVP, plus the baseball meetings this week. A lot going on already. Jason Stark, formerly of ESPN, now with The Athletic, is one of the best baseball writers in the country. We'll do some baseball with Jason Stark, then we'll get back to the football. We've got fantasy. We've got Danny B making picks. We've got the former Giant Sean O'Hara stopping by, and the great Russ Salzberg live in studio. All that and more. Sid Sports Sunday on Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day, everybody out there. Rolls on right after these words.
77 WABC. Spectacular guests. Yes. Spectacular picks. Spectacular sports. Spectacular stories. Sid Sports Sunday. Driven by Ramsey Mazda.
Spectacular.
77 WABC.
Spectacular.
So years ago down in Florida, I used to have, like I do with Bernie every single morning here on WABC, the best morning show in New York, the Bernie and Sid in the morning show. We have our regular guests, you know, Scaramucci Wednesday, Bill O'Reilly Thursday, Chuck Todd Friday. So I had regular sports guests on when I was doing more banal topics in the good old days. And I got to tell you, the guy I'm bringing on now was my best baseball guest, my best guest. And we became very, very good friends. And then when I got fired, like everybody else, he dropped me like a bad habit. I haven't heard from this guy in years. But I'm thrilled to death he's making his debut on Sid Sports Sunday today. One of the great baseball writers in the country. He writes for The Athletic. You see him on MLB Network. And he also does baseball stories on Stadium TV. The great Jason Stark. Good morning, Jason.
Sid, it's been way too long, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. More importantly, how are you?
I'm great, too.
You are great.
That's great.
Well, everybody's great. This is great.
Exactly. Every day is a great day in our world. We all know that.
Yeah, that is true. It could be a heck of a lot worse. And I do miss you. You were a lot of fun every week, and I'm glad you're back on here today. So let's get to the big topics at hand, Jason. We'll start locally, being this show is on WABC in New York this morning. The Mets, a very controversial and different kind of hire. I may be the only guy that likes it. Brody Van Wagenen is the new GM. What do you think about that?
It's one of the most fascinating hires since I've been covering baseball. Just one of the most unique, creative, outside-the-box hires ever.
Yeah.
Ever. And, you know, Brody's an incredibly bright, dynamic guy. He's got an excellent relationship with the Wilpons. All those things bode well. But it's incredibly complicated. He represented like half their team.
Right.
And that's just going to cause some issues. And everybody's going to have to work through them for a while.
Well, let me start with one guy who we'll find out on Wednesday whether or not he gets the Cy Young. He should over Nola and Scherzer, and that's Jacob deGrom. He was, in fact, a Brody client. There's been trade talk surrounding him for years. Now that he is, in fact, Brody's a GM and not his agent, what do you think that means for deGrom signing something long-term with the Mets?
Well, he should never bet on anything in baseball as being like 100%, but Jacob deGrom getting some kind of long-term deal with the Mets feels like it's going to be really close. Obviously, Brody went from one side to the other side.
Right.
That changes the dynamics a little bit, but he was so adamant when he was still Jacob deGrom's agent that this was a guy who needed to get an extension if he was going to stick around. If the Mets had a plan, if the Mets had a purpose, he needed to be a Met. So now, when he's the GM, and his first major pronouncement is, this is not a time to take a step back. This is a time when the Mets need to try to win. I plan to win. You're not going to win without that rotation. You're not going to win without Jacob deGrom. How can they not get this done? Have to get it done.
Agreed. Jason Stark, The Athletic, MLB Network, and, of course, Baseball Stories on Stadium TV. You know, the Yanks had a pretty good year. I think you'd admit they won over 100 games. They did win the wild card game. Now they got blown out by Boston, but so did everybody else. In the end, it's hard to call last season a failure, but I know based on expectations and getting Stanton in the offseason, Yankee fans wanted more. They brought back C.C. Sabathia already. They brought back Brett Gardner already. But certainly Brian Cashman needs to do something to get his team to the Red Sox level. Do you have confidence that Brian Cashman can and will do that?
Yeah, I do. First of all, Brian Cashman, one of the great general managers in the history of the sport. Second, what happened last winter, Sid? Gee, the Yankees managed to submerge below that tax threshold, didn't they?
Yes.
And why do we think they did that? Because they're big fans of frugality? Of course not. They did it so they could reset their tax rate and then take advantage of that. And they're going to be incredibly active. They're going to come out of this with two starting pitchers. Look, you've heard a lot of talk about Patrick Corbin and Jay Happ. I think excellent chance they could wind up with both unless the bidding gets to some crazy place. And then we go from there. It would not shock me if Manny Machado wound up as a Yankee this winter. And I know they've been trying to downplay that. All I can tell you is they've done a lot of background work on this. They've kicked so many tires on Manny and what kind of player he is, what kind of person he is, what kind of teammate he is, what they should make of the Johnny Hustle remarks. They've looked into all of that. I don't know that they've got an appetite for any more 10-year, $350 million contracts or whatever it's going to be. But I think Manny really wants to be a Yankee. I think he's a perfect fit for the Yankees. Very often in my world, in your world, when those things were things you could say and believe, the guy wound up as a Yankee.
No, I know that. But, you know, listen, he really did not afford himself very well. He acted like a jerk. I mean, let's be honest. Acted like a jerk in the postseason with the Dodgers. He really did. The Yankees, I know he can't field. I get it. But they do have a guy at third base who's got a chance to win Rookie of the Year coming up next week. And if you're telling me that it's J.A. Happ or Patrick Corbin, if I'm the Yanks, what about Madison Bumgarner? He may be available from the Giants. I'm taking Bumgarner way ahead of Manny Machado, no?
I mean, you're really jumping ahead of yourselves. The Giants have had a president of baseball operations now for like 15 minutes, and we don't know yet whether they're going to trade Madison Bumgarner. I wouldn't count on it.
Okay.
There's a lot of left-handed starting pitching on the market. The Yankees have money to spend. I think that's the place they wheel their shopping cart first. They are prioritizing adding starting pitching before they get to Manny Machado.
Okay.
But don't you think Manny's going to be out there a long time? I do. So that plays into this. The starting pitching is going to be out there a shorter amount of time. They can figure that part of it out before they get around to dealing with Manny, yes or no.
Okay.
Then what you mentioned is an issue for every team, for every ownership. But the advantages the Yankees have are they have a veteran core to surround Manny. And players can police other players better than anyone else can. So there's definitely that. They have experience with having a superstar player in Robinson Cano who didn't run out every ground ball. And it became a topic. They dealt with it. People learned to live with it because the player was such a great player, and he helped you win. It's what the Yankees are ultimately all about. They're going to win. And that's why you should not write off the chances of Manny Machado just based on initial chatter.
All right, Jason Stark, The Athletic, MLB Network, and, of course, Baseball Stories on Stadium TV. Last year, the Yankees got a huge name in Stanton. And I just mentioned Madison Bumgarner. You said don't go there just yet. New guy in San Francisco. But I am reading big names. You know, guys like Paul Goldschmidt maybe in Arizona. Corey Kluber maybe in Cleveland. I mean, the silliest of all I've read is Mike Trout out of the Angels, but I say silly. You're the baseball expert here, Jason. One of those big names possibly be on the move?
Oh, they could all be on the move. I don't know about Trout. I don't think there's much appetite in the Angels world to trade Mike Trout. He'd have to really try to force his way out of there. It's just not his thing. The Indians are going to trade at least one of their top-of-the-rotation starters. I would watch that for sure. The Diamondbacks have made almost everybody available. So a Paul Goldschmidt deal would be a humongous deal, but it's out there. And that's the other thing about the Yankees. They can take on any contract, and they have so much system depth to trade from. And young players in the big leagues, for that matter, to trade. They have whatever they need to make any deal. They have a general manager who's really good at making any deal. So could the Yankees make a gigantic trade this winter? Of course.
So when you look at the end of this season, the Red Sox win the whole thing. We'll wrap it up here. As always, Jason Stark, the absolute best. Red Sox were the best from the very beginning to the very end. But they never really got the respect, right? I mean, folks thought the Yankees can beat them. They were underdogs against Houston. Now Houston, by the way, Houston, they'll need some starting pitching, right? Dallas Keuchel's a free agent, and really, I guess outside of Cole and Verlander, they may not have enough pitching, huh?
Well, they've got some challenges now. They'll have Verlander and Cole, and then a lot of questions. And they're in the market to add starters. I think Dallas Keuchel's probably gone. They won't have McCullers for a year. Charlie Morton might come back. I think that probably is not that likely, but they're going to be good. They're committed to be good, and they're not going away. The Red Sox aren't going away. I think those three super teams in the American League are going to be right back in that position next year, and it's going to make it an incredibly interesting year. But I don't think any team is better positioned for the long haul in that group than the Yankees are. The Red Sox were a better team than any of those teams this year, but they are not better set up for the future than those teams.
Well, you just made a whole lot of people that listen to Sit Sports Sunday every Sunday in the Bronx very, very happy, Jason. Once again, you can read Jason's work in The Athletic. Check him out on television. He's great on the MLB Network and his show Baseball Stories on Stadium TV. It's so great to catch up with you. You really are great, Jason, and thank you for coming on, and please come back again very, very soon. Thank you.
Sid, that would be great. I miss you, man. It was fun doing some radio again.
Thank you. The great Jason Stark on Sid Sports Sunday. We'll come back right after this.
Sit up!
This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda, Sid Rosenberg, the stories, the stats, the edge.
Here is one wide open for the touchdown, Garcon. What a start for Nick Mullins at the end of a perfect opening drive. 49ers on top.
The moments.
Rodgers rolling and looking and firing, and it is Devontae Adams for the touchdown.
Every Sunday.
Wide open. Well, there's two guys who are there, but it's Josh Gordon, the second guy, into the touchdown.
Brady's a sneaky little devil.
This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda on 77 WABC.
Lady, set!
Kamara starts in the slot. Pass is to Thomas. He's gone. Touchdown, Saints.
Now, Sid Rosenberg.
All right, that was a great first hour. Lots of baseball with Brian Kenny and Jason Stark. Big second hour coming up. Danny B with his picks. We're going to talk to former Giant great Sean O'Hara. Giants and Niners coming up tomorrow night, and get back to the Stringers at six of the biggest games across the NFL today. But we'll start hour number two doing some fantasy. Always great Brandon Lee. She does a terrific job. Follow her on Twitter at Brandon Her FFB, writes for The Athletic, writes for NFL.com. It's fantasy football time with Brandon Marion Lee. Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning.
Welcome back. Jacksonville and the Colts today. Jacksonville started up the season 3-0. They've lost 5 in a row. They look terrible, but they get their big-time running back today, Leonard Fournette. Do you play him against the Colts?
I think you do. I mean, if you told me at the beginning of the season, before we played any games, that he would only have 13 total fantasy points heading into week 10, I would have said that's impossible. But it is true. That's where we are. He's missed 6 of the last 7 with a hamstring injury. He shouldn't have come back in week 4 at all, frankly, but that's what happened. He supposedly is going to get the full load, though, against the Colts. The Colts allow the 13th most fantasy points in PPR format, so I guess he is a scary guy, but a must-start.
All right, Patriots take on the Titans. Today they've been terrific. Brady's on fire. Josh Gordon, the former Brown, has made some contributions. Is he in store for a big day in Tennessee today?
Yeah, and you know what? He's doing better than actually I thought he was going to. Sometimes it takes a while for wide receivers to get acclimated to the Patriots offense. But he's gone over 100 yards in 2 of the last 3. Already a pretty bright star here. I would say this. He's going up against Malcolm Butler, and we all remember how much trouble Bill Belichick got into with the press when he sat Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. And so I think there's a big chip on Belichick's shoulder. I think he's going to go to him often. Most of Gordon's routes will be on the right side, right there with Butler. So, oof, it's going to be a big game.
Washington taking on Tampa Bay today. The Redskins do own sole possession of first place atop the NFC East, but Adrian Peterson beat up a little bit. The offensive line is beat up a little bit with Washington. Do you give AP the start today against the Buccaneers?
Oh, man, it's so hard, right? Because Tampa Bay can't stop anyone.
Right.
Absolutely no one. And so the thing is, you think to yourself, well, then I guess that includes the Washington offensive line, even though they're tragic. So I think so. But if this game gets out of hand like last week, where they had to abandon the run, so Peterson let down fantasy owners, then I think, I want to say this, Maurice Harris is the play at the wide receiver position in Washington. I think they have to stick with the run because it didn't work for them last week when they abandoned it. So hopefully they learn their lesson, stick with Peterson, and we all prosper.
All right, Brandon, so much good quarterback play this year. Brady takes on the Titans today. Drew Brees, he's got a big game coming up today as well. He's been amazing. Matt Ryan has been red hot up against the Cleveland Browns this afternoon. Brandon Lee, who's your number one starting quarterback today?
Well, I'm going to give you, I think the number one is going to be Drew Brees going up against the Bengals. It's the highest over-under of the week at 53.75. But I'm going to say the guy on the other side of that game, though, Andy Dalton, is someone that you could probably pick up right now and possibly play. He does not have A.J. Green, so a lot of people are out. But Tyler Boyd has been incredible all season long. They got John Ross back. C.J. Uzuma is really, really good, you guys. Very reliable tight end. They always use them. So I still think he's going to have a big game. And they always throw to Joe Mixon, too, and he's still there.
By the way, Pat Mahomes... does not exactly take on a powerhouse today either. His Chiefs, nearly a 17-point favorite. I'd keep an eye on Pat Mahomes today as well. As always, Brandon Lee, excellent job at Brandon, her FFB, theathleticnfl.com. Thank you so much. Great job, Brandon. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move it over now from the fantasy to the picks. Folks want to make some money. Today's picks and spreads analysis sponsored by my good friend Danny B. Onkulo and dbwins.com. dbwins.com. Picking winners for four decades and betting professionally for over 35 years. Check out all his winners in every sport at dbwins.com.
This segment is sponsored by dbwins.com.
All right, we got two guys in studio today. We did this a couple of weeks ago with John Layfield, who you see quite a bit on Fox Business. Today it is, of course, Danny B., who always picks winners on this show on Sunday. And, of course, to my left, also covering the Giants and Niners today, our dear friend Russ Salzberg. Danny, we'll start with you. First of all, welcome back.
Hey, man, it's great. What an honor. Look at this. Royalty. Radio royalty. Are you kidding me? Are you out of your mind, Sid? This is fantastic.
It's a big day for you because I think about you. You know, you lost a very, very dear friend. You talk about all the time. We did a show together back on 9/11.
Right.
You lost your buddy. You've got some, I don't even know, I got to read your Wikipedia again, but you've got some service somewhere in your...
Soldier of the Year, 101st Airborne, my man.
There you go.
And happy Veterans Day
to
everybody out there.
Happy Veterans Day to you. You've actually served, right?
Yeah, but I give respect to the guys that actually saw war.
Combat, right.
Combat, excuse me. My brother, 30 years in the Navy, guys like that,
yeah.
I bow down to them. I was peacetime. I had a great time, Soldier of the Year.
Right.
But I saw...
What do you mean, Soldier of the Year? They give an award out to Soldier of the Year? What did you do to deserve that?
He played ball in Germany.
I served under Pete Dawkins, Heisman Trophy winner
sure.
for Army.
Sure. Actually, it's funny you say that because today they're actually advertising on ESPN. Big football day.
Right.
1 o'clock on ESPN, Duke, the fourth-ranked college basketball team in the country.
Playing 40.
And they look great. Yeah, they're playing Army. So they're actually promoting Army versus Duke on Veterans Day in a game where, like you said,
well, you know,
Duke will win by 30 points.
Well, Coach K played for didn't Coach K play for Army?
Played in Army from 66 through 69 and played for Bobby Knight.
That's right.
He's not going to run up the score.
No, not today.
They're going to win. They're going to win by 25, 30, but I see Army getting the cover.
Okay. I don't even know what the number is
40.
In that game.
It
is,
40.
Is it really 40?
40.
Oh, they
yes.
can't do
They're
that.
Not going to tap dance right, on right, the military. Right. Not on this
no.
day. No
well, there
way.
Were some big spreads in the NFL today. A couple of double-digit spreads. Like I said, the Chiefs, nearly a 17-point favorite. The Green Bay Packers hosting Miami is a 10-point favorite. So some big spreads out there today. The Rams are about 9. That's close to double digits at home over Seattle. Danny B., what is pick number one today?
Well, I'm going to start, and I think we both agree, Atlanta and Ryan on the road down to 5.5 at Cleveland. You know, this I'm worried about the backdoor cover, but right now I do like Atlanta minus 5.5 points. The number just dropped.
Every sharp takes Cleveland every single week. I don't know why. Baker Mayfield has been getting blown out every week. Falcons have won 3 in a row.
They're ready,
one of the
yeah.
better teams, right? They're the better team, mm-hmm. so I like that pick. Falcons laying 5.5 in Cleveland against the Browns. Want folks to know, too, that at dbwins.com, this is a very busy time of year. The NBA is in full swing. LeBron got another win last night. College basketball really in full swing. NHL as well. College football, monster day yesterday. So you need to know that at dbwins.com, it's not just about NFL picks. Danny just had a great baseball season, for example. So for the folks that want the picks you're not going to give here today on Sid Sports Sunday, what's that toll-free number one more time?
Sure, it's 1-800-308-9003. What I'm doing today, I want to get your attention. And it's not free. I'm going to tell you right on air, it's not free.
Nothing's free.
For $99, you're going to get a trial membership with me, and then I'm going to go to work for you. I'm going to show you what I can really do for you, but I need a small commitment. A lot of guys call, give me this, give me that. I'll sign. Listen, $99, take it or leave it.
Oh, that's nothing. Come on. He's going to spend that.
You know what?
Russia's going to spend that at Brennan and
Listen,
Carl.
I spent that on
tomorrow, a mere bag of shells.
Here's what I love about gamblers. They're like, well, I ain't paying nobody up front, right? They don't trust me, right. but they'll bet $1,000 on a free game.
Right. They
you don't trust me for right. $99, but you'll take my advice and bet $1,000 or $2,000. You're a nitwit.
That's how a
long,
very good
how
point.
Long is that $99 good for?
Until they make a $1,000 profit.
How about that?
Not bad.
Now, if you're betting 100 yeah. a game, it's going to take some time,
maybe
right?
2 weeks with you. That's all.
It depends. You
That's
know,
all.
If you catch the right wave.
Right.
But I just need a commitment because most people that call, they're not serious.
No, I know.
They call the bus chops.
They want it for free.
They want it for free. Give me a winner. You want to judge somebody by one game, you're out of your mind.
Couldn't agree more.
They call Danny because they want to speak to Sid.
Right. Sometimes they do that. Could you tell your friend Sid to stop talking about pornography on the Bernie and
religion?
Sid show? Yeah. Yeah, religion. I was always talking about the Jews. And let me just say this. Anytime you call with stuff like that, I up the ante. And now tomorrow,
go ahead,
Bernie
give it to
and
him,
Sid show, it's only going
to
be porn.
Give
That's
it to him. Right. Porn.
Yeah. All right. So you like Atlanta today. Now, Russ, I know he likes one pick. He was excited about it in the newsroom before the show.
Love the Packers.
You love the Packers.
I mean, Miami is terrible.
They're 5-4, by the way.
Yeah, but
they're going they are terrible, but they're 5-4.
But the Packers
listen,
dropped
they
could have
easily yeah. lost last week to the Jets. I just think Aaron Rodgers has had enough. He's lost a couple of tough games. He's going to be PO'd.
Yeah.
They're at home. It's going to be colder in Green Bay. You got to like the Packers.
Well, you know, listen, when you get these big spreads, and Danny's been successful with these every single week, sometimes you want to take a 17-point favorite like the Chiefs, a 10-point favorite like Green Bay, and tease that thing down. Green Bay, for example, today would be a pick'em game. I know you have other
That's with a 10-point. I use 7-point teasers.
Oh, you use 7-point. So they're a field goal favorite. I know you got more straights to get to, but what is the big teaser today with some of these big favorites today?
I got two of them.
Oh, two of
them? And I'm going to get creative on you.
Oh, I like that.
All right, watch this now. We're gonna, like you said, I like the Packers, Russ. Cold weather. Too many points, though. So I'm going to tease them down to -3.
Right.
Rams, hey, listen, they lost, but they look good in a loss, right?
They sure did.
They came back 35-14, tied it up. You know, they could have very easily won that game. So I'm going to take the Rams down from 9 to -2.
Nice.
So I got, how do you go wrong? Packers -3 to the Rams at home -2. So that's one of my teases. Now, this is where I get creative. We're also going to tease Seattle now up to 16 points.
Right.
So I'm betting against Seattle, and then I'm taking Seattle.
Yeah, but you got a 14-point spread in there.
Yeah, it's a cushion. It's a cushion.
Right.
And the Chargers, they're at Oakland. They're laying double digits, 10. I'm taking them down to -3. So
this is, by the way, this is a historically bad football team that John Gruden has in Oakland. Well, what I saw against that kid Mullins and San Francisco Thursday night, they've won one game all year. They traded Khalil Mack. They traded Amari Cooper. I don't think Gruden even likes his quarterback, Derek Carr. So I think they're gutting this football team. Right. You can bet against the Raiders every single week. They make the Giants look good, if that's possible.
And the Giants are going to win tomorrow night.
What?
We like to hear that.
The Giants will win tomorrow night. The bye week's going to help them. Yeah, they're a horrible team. I think there's some concerns with the air quality tomorrow night.
So there is.
I heard some they might play, they might move it, but if they play, the Giants will win tomorrow
night. That's because of the wildfires. What is the line right now?
I got +3.5 on the G-Man.
All right, so you gave me two teasers. You gave me the Falcons. You gave me the Giants. Russ Salzburg likes Green Bay laying the double-digit wood at home over against the Dolphins. Who else you like today, Danny B?
You're going to hate me, Sydney. You're going to hate me.
The Bengals? No.
I'm going over tonight in the Eagle-Dallas game, over 44.
Cold?
Cold weather.
Dallas has been miserable.
But they overs, they come in. You doubted me last Monday. They came in to over. Dallas stinks. That's my team, but they stink. But I do like the over tonight. Couple of teases, again, creative. I'm taking the Packers down to 3 with the Rams down to 2. Chargers down to 3. Seattle up to 16.
Right.
That's a nice cushion. You know, you can catch a middle, too. There's so much you can do with this stuff. So just call me at 1-800-3-0-8-9-0-0-3. $99 gets you in the door, gets you a membership.
Now, does $99 get you every NFL pick, college basketball,
get
everything?
Get a picture of my wife, too. Signed picture of Jamie. How do you go wrong with that?
Beautiful woman.
Sexy
no
little thing, huh? She's got pretty feet, too.
She's a lovely. What?
Very pretty feet.
What are you, Rex Ryan? Well,
yeah, I was just going to say, Rex Ryan.
Oh, he's
you don't
a foot
want
guy?
To associate yourself.
First thing I met when I met her, you know, she's obviously sexy and stacked.
Right.
I said, take your shoes off, because if you got ugly feet, you ain't jumping in that
listen,
with me.
Listen, I'm not kicking.
Something about the foot.
I'm not kicking a gorgeous woman out of bed.
Yeah, I don't know.
If she has ugly feet. Thank God Danielle is gorgeous from top to bottom.
Right.
But I do understand what you're saying.
They got to have good-looking feet. I don't know. I got a problem with the feet.
Yeah. Well, you're a sick guy, Danielle.
We all are. Ain't we, Sydney?
All right, so one more time, give us the picks in review. Give us the 800 number. Give us the website. Give us the deal. Because, folks, if you have not taken advantage, and I know you're not used to sports on this station. Some of you idiots who are not listening now or listening to FAN or ESPN.
Why, though? For $10?
They'll come here
eventually. What do they charge that? What does he charge?
Well, Mike does. But they have other guys on.
What are you talking about? about that. They got to be listening to Sid Sports Sunday.
Thank you.
I'm still in awe here.
Look at this. Next to Sid and Russ. I mean, come on.
Pretty amazing, huh?
It is. I'm excited.
On a Sunday morning.
I am excited. I'm so excited. I should be investigated. And I have been.
Enough of that. I'll give everybody the picks and the 800 number and all that good stuff one more time.
Let me start off with the 1 o'clock round. We got Atlanta down to 5.5 over Cleveland. Then we're going to go to the later games. Packers in a teaser down to, and they should tap dance, but I'm going to put the safety net out. Packers down to 3, to the Rams down to 2. Another teaser, 7-pointer, take the Chargers from 10 down to 3. Connect them to Seattle up to 16. Go over tonight. Yes, the pitiful Cowboys will score tonight. I'm not saying they're going to cover, but tomorrow night the Giants will win outright.
And one more
time. They will win outright. 1-800-308-9003. $99, you're going to spend it today getting drunk. So invest it instead of spending it.
DBWins.com. Russ, we'll talk to you again later on in the program about the Giants and the Niners.
Sounds good, buddy.
All right. Coming up next, by the way, talking about Giants and Niners. This guy went to 3 Pro Bowls as an offensive lineman for the Giants and was on that Super Bowl 42 team that beat the undefeated Patriots. Actually was a co-captain of the Giants and one of the all-time Giant greats. We're going to talk Giants with Sean O'Hara. And, of course, Jet fans on the way to the stadium getting ready for the Buffalo Bills. We'll talk to you guys as well. Sid Sports Sunday rolls on right after these short messages. How cool is this? Sid Sports Sunday. We even give away things on this show before we get to Sean O'Hara and the Stringers. It's the 3rd annual Never Forget Tribute Classic at Prudential Center coming up on Saturday, December the 8th. NCAA men's basketball doubleheader going to feature some really good teams here. The Clemson Tigers taking on the Mississippi State Bulldogs. SEC action coming up at 4 that afternoon. And then Florida State taking on the UConn Huskies at 6:30 that night. Visit PruCenter.com/NFTC2018 to purchase tickets. Use code RADIO10 for 10% off these tickets. And 77 WABC has your chance to win a pair of tickets right now. Call Gunsey, number 9, call the number 9 at 212-268-WABC, 212-268-9222, and you're on your way to college basketball Saturday, December the 8th at the Prude Center. Additional chances to win online at WABCRadio.com. This week's injury report sponsored by Manhattan Sports Medicine and Wellness Group, dedicated to helping New Yorkers lead physically dynamic lives free from pain. MSM Wellness, the leader in sports rehab and physical therapy. Visit them today at msmwellness.com. Vikings wide receiver Stephon Diggs, questionable rib issue, missed practice all week. This is last week's. Vikings don't even play this week. Did you give me the injury report for this week, Gunselman? I'm not sure you did. I know that Rob Gronkowski is questionable for the Pats today against the Titans. In this Jet-Buffalo game today, both rookie quarterbacks are out. Josh Allen out for Buffalo. I don't think Peterman gets the start. I think it's Matt Barkley, but we'll talk to Peter Schwartz. And, of course, the veteran Josh McCown starts in the place of the injured Sam Darnold. So those are your big injuries coming up later on today. We will get back to the Stringers, but first, talking about the Giants and the Niners tomorrow night, this is a good opportunity to talk to one of the all-time great Giants, 3-time Pro Bowler and Super Bowl champ, Sean O'Hara. Of course, the Giants had the week off last week, and hopefully they fixed a bunch of problems. They are 1-7, and they look every bit as 1-7, if not worse. But my next guest, a local product, Rutgers star, went on to spend a couple of years in Cleveland with the Browns, but really became a star here in New York with the football Giants between 2004 and 2010, 3-time Pro Bowler and a part of that Super Bowl 42 team that, of course, beat at the time the undefeated New England Patriots in Phoenix for one of the great Super Bowl wins ever, became a co-captain for the Giants, a union guy. Now he's a big star on the NFL Network, ESPN Radio, the Giants. He does it all. My good buddy, Sean O'Hara. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, top of the morning to you.
How are you? I know your Rutgers team is terrible. The Giants are terrible. Is this affecting you, Sean? Because ordinarily you're a pretty happy-go guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, the Irish in me keeps me optimistic and gives me a bounce in my step. You know, I've taken more cues from my grandfather, rest his soul. You know, he used to go with a couple of fingers in his Irish coffee in the morning. So I've had to divert to that. But you know, the fall is usually one of my favorite times of the year. So I've just spent a lot more time apple picking and out in the orchards than probably I would have anticipated.
Well, that's nice anyway. But listen, here's what we'll start on a positive note. I want you to take me back to that special day in Phoenix when, in fact, David Tyree made that amazing catch, when Plaxico Burress caught the game-winning touchdown, when all odds were against you, that your team was a 12-point underdog that day against the undefeated Patriots in Phoenix, Arizona, Super Bowl 42, the improbable run, first team ever to go win the Super Bowl as a wild card. Take me back to that morning in Phoenix, Arizona, before Super Bowl 42.
It was definitely a special day. You know, that whole week, you know, just leading up to it, it was very surreal. I think as an NFL player, you never think that you're going to actually be the team that makes it to the Super Bowl. We had been close before, and I'd been on some good teams before, but we just kind of fell short of it. So just kind of being there and experiencing that was something to behold, and I think it was something that we were all cherishing and trying to soak in. But game day, you know, I do remember down at breakfast, down at the pregame meal and at the hotel, just kind of talking with, you know, some of the offensive linemen. And it's funny because you don't realize how superstitious you are until you get to those big moments and you realize, okay, who do I normally eat breakfast with? And, you know, in the playoffs when we got hot, it was, all right, did I sit with Soybert and with Deal and Snee? And then, you know, where was Eli sitting? Was he in between these guys? Let's make sure that we're all doing the same things. We don't want to mess up, you know, the rhythm. But I remember sitting there and saying, you know, if we win this game, this is the last breakfast that we will have right now in this light and in this with this definition. The next time we eat a pregame meal together, they could be talking about us in a totally different manner. And it was almost kind of, you know, as a football player, an opportunity to become immortal.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, when you play in the NFL, it's great, but everybody's seeking immortality. And you can only achieve that two ways as a football player, either the Hall of Fame or by winning a Super Bowl. You know, and for the Hall of Fame, it's, you know, very rarely do you get an opportunity with that. But to win a Super Bowl and to achieve that, I still think about that day. I think about going out on that field for the first time and just seeing it, soaking it all in, the magnitude of it, having the family there. It was a great moment. But it also, you know, people look at that moment and they introduce me as a Super Bowl champion. And in addition to that, I think back to the lumps that we took 3 years before that, the games that we lost and the things we had to, the growing pains we had to go through all the way back to 2004 when I came to the Giants and when Tom Coughlin came to the Giants and when we drafted young Eli and all of the growing pains we went through as a team that got us battle ready and battle tested for that road warrior mentality, for that road run to the playoffs and for that championship game.
Difference was, though, and again, that was a historic win because you guys did, in fact, defeat an undefeated team, and they were going to be the second team since the Dolphins and the only team to go 17-0. Miami went 14-0, so it was an historic win. Different was when you got there, Kurt Warner was there, you had a winning record, Eli took over, you went to the playoffs almost right away. I know you lost to Carolina and Philly, but the pieces were in place. Hall of Famers like Michael Strahan on defense and a great young quarterback. Now I look at this team, and I know, Sean, you and I have been friends a long time. I don't want to piss you off, but I know you've got a tremendous amount of loyalty to Eli because he was your quarterback when you won, and he won another. But Eli Manning didn't become bad this year. And I know the offensive line is a major issue, major. And I know Odell Beckham could be an issue. But the truth is, outside of one season, the playoff season where they lost to Green Bay a couple of years ago, Eli and the Giants have been more bad than good for about 6 years. And it's just about time, I hate to say it, that the Giants come to the realization that Ben McAdoo did last year, which is he was great, but it's time to move on from number 10.
Well, it's really tough on a number of different levels. Yes, Eli is a good friend of mine. And so personally, it's tough to see him and what he's gone through the last couple of years. But this has, to your point, this has been a culmination of years. And I've said this before. I said it this summer. I've said it even as of a couple of years ago. the Giants have really wasted Eli's prime years. And when I say that, what I'm referring to is their inability to evaluate and draft great offensive linemen, the inability to bring in free agent offensive linemen and build this team the right way. And I think it's a shame because Eli is a very good quarterback. And anybody that wants to sit around here and talk about, hey, he can't still play the game. Oh, he can still play the game. But you're foolish if you don't think he hasn't been damaged by the inability for this offensive line to protect him and then for the offenses that he's had to run over the last few years. You brought up Ben McAdoo. His offense was a pass-first offense. They were not a run-oriented offense. They did not protect the quarterback well in the play-action game because they didn't establish the run. I think you look at some of the draft picks that have happened. When you swing and miss on a ninth overall pick with a tackle, that is somebody that has held this organization hostage for years.
Yeah.
They're still trying to recover from that.
Yep.
And they had to go out and pay a lot of money for a left tackle in Nate Solder because they couldn't continue to go on and try to operate as an offense with what they were dealing with. By the way,
Nate Solder, who did a great job protecting Tom Brady's blind side, got them to a bunch of Super Bowls, wonderful guy, great family guy, know the whole family story. He hasn't been good. Fact is, he hasn't been good.
Yeah, Nate Solder's a good left tackle. He's given up some sacks. He's gotten beat. But he also, his style of play is he's very athletic, and he runs edge rushers and speed rushers past the quarterback. And he relied a lot early on in his career on Tom Brady stepping up into the pocket. Well, Eli has tried to do that a number of times. The only problem is the guards and the centers are getting beat too. So
yeah,
he's stepping right up into that rush. If the guards and the centers have been playing well, and, you know, look, offensive line play, the guards in the center are responsible for the depth of the pocket. So that's the ability for the quarterback to step up. The tackles are responsible for the width. There's been nothing wrong with the width of the pocket. Yeah, Nate Solder's gotten beat a couple times. He'll own that, and he will get better. This offense needs to get better, though. So I look at all of this, and I say, look, they're not going to rebuild this team overnight. And by signing a left tackle and drafting a rookie left guard, those are two pieces to the puzzle long term. But the fact that they're on their third center, they've already benched their starting right guard, Amame. Now they're on their second right guard in Greco. They're on their second right tackle on Chad Wheeler, if he even plays, because he got hurt in the game against Washington. So they were on their third right tackle in Brian Mahalik. So name me another team that's had this much turnover at the offensive line position. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the starting five weren't even that great to begin with. So
right.
I look at the dysfunction of this offense, and if people want to blame Eli for it, I get it. But that's like, you know, that's like blaming a pilot turbulence.
No, listen, here's what I'll say to you again, talking to the great Sean O'Hara. And Pat Shermer has come out and given him Eli Manning, I'm talking about, you know, the deadline. If you don't play well tomorrow night against San Francisco, you're done. I'm okay with that. I'm not sure a lot of Giant fans are, but I am. But you're right. I mean, there's a lot of people who deserve blame. And I go back to Jerry Reese and some of the guys that are still with the Giant organization, still to this day, that are even critical, I should say, of Eli Manning in public, which I find hard to believe. Those guys aren't to blame, no doubt. My issue is, because Giant fans love Eli so much because he won Super Bowls, they act like he's not a part of the problem. And to do that, to me, is equally as egregious as leaving out a guy like Jerry Reese. Does that make sense?
I can wrap my head around all that. And I think Jerry Reese and even Mark Ross, you know, I was on a show with Mark Ross, you know, a week or so ago. And, you know, it blew my mind that he sat there and said, they got to move on from Eli. And it's like, you know, dude, they're in this position because of your inability to build the roster and build the talent. And you had guys that you drafted that you kept on scholarship. You know, I mean, you can go up and down and look at the draft picks and how many guys are still on the team, even from 5 years ago. It's criminal.
Hmm.
But I look at this team and this offense specifically. The offense is a bunch of moving parts, and everything has to be working in concert, just like an orchestra. You know, if the guy playing the tuba, the guy playing the saxophone and the violinist, if all three of them are off pitch, you don't blame the conductor because it's bad music.
Hmm.
I look at it like each and every one of them's got to do their job. And the left tackle gets beat on one play, okay, that's my bad. The left guard gets beat on for a sack, hey, now it's my bad. Well, then the receiver runs the wrong route and he's not on the same page with the quarterback, that's his bad. Well, then if the quarterback misses a throw, oh, hey, that's my bad. Well, you come back to the huddle 10 times in a game and everybody and a different guy saying my bad, that's losing football. That's what I see. Now, I know everybody's saying, well, hey, look, Pat Shurmur put Eli on notice. Look, Eli's been on notice, and Eli wants to play better. He can still throw the ball. That's priority number one as a quarterback is, can I still spin it? Can I make these throws? Yes, he can. But I look at this offense, and I ask the question, why are they not running the football more? Coming into the season, the Giants had five new starters at each position. And when you look at the offense and you're trying to build chemistry, look at the Indianapolis Colts. Look what they did their last two games. They've rushed for over 200 yards. They've got a bunch of new offensive linemen, Quentin Nelson at left guard, Ryan Kelly's finally healthy, the center that they drafted a couple years ago.
Yep.
Braden Smith is filling in. And they're finally trying to protect Andrew Luck with a run game. Saquon Barkley was the second pick overall, and he has yet to have 20 carries in a game. Don't come at me with receptions. He touched his receptions are different. Screens, checkdowns, all that, that's not a run play. The fact that Saquon Barkley has not carried the ball 20 times in a game,
yeah,
halfway through the season, I don't understand that.
Well, that's I do. I mean, I think there's two plays at that, and then we'll 2 minutes we'll let you run. One is they don't run block well either, by the way. They don't pass protect. They don't run block well either. And secondly, I don't think John Mara wanted to pay $95 million to Odell Beckham to get 2 yards in a cloud of dust.
Well, that's fine. But if Odell Beckham wants to score touchdowns, which is what will help his team the most, the play-action passing game is one of the things that Eli excels in. So I look at Leonard Fournette, drafted last year by the Jacksonville Jaguars. In the first 8 games of the season, he had 4 games with 20-plus carries. The year before that, Ezekiel Elliott, as a rookie, led the NFL in rushing. He had 12 games with 20-plus carries, and 6 of his first 8, he had 20 carries. So when I look at both of those guys, both of those teams made the playoffs. Dallas was 13-3 with a rookie running back. The Jaguars with Fournette were 10-6. They built their offense through that. And you mentioned it. Yeah, they weren't that good at run blocking. But in order to get better, you have to continually get reps at it, game reps. And that's what they have failed to do. And even if you struggle within the run game, 2nd and 10, you can fight your way out of that. You can't fight your way out of 2nd and 16 if you get a sack on 1st or 2nd down.
True. Now, 1 more minute, we'll let you run. Sean O'Hara, great job. NFL Network, ESPN, Giant Games, and for 7 years was a really important part of great Giant teams, including one that won Super Bowl 42. Eli aside, you know, Drew Brees, I can't believe I'm saying this. I think he's getting better. He's 40 years old. I think he's getting better. Brady's in his 40s. And I know they got great offensive lines and great football teams in and around them. But I don't remember in almost 5 decades, Sean O'Hara, of watching football where guys in their 40s were every bit as good as they were in their 20s. Again, in Drew Brees' case, if not better.
Yeah, Drew's fun to watch. He's so skilled with his craft, with finding different throwing angles. You know, he's had to do it his whole career because everybody got on him about his height. But his accuracy, his precision with all of that, his ability to run the offense, I look at 2 factors. You mentioned the offensive line. Well, we just talked about the Giants and their misses with their draft picks. All right, they used 2 first-round picks on their tackles, Teron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk.
Yep.
They're 2 of the best tackles in the game right now. They're both going to be in the Pro Bowl if that team's not in the Super Bowl. So you look at that aspect of it, that has changed it. The other aspect for Drew Brees, he's been with Sean Payton for 10 years, 12 years maybe. I think he came there in 06. I look at that. That is a huge factor in why they are so good, why they're so good at attacking defenses. Tom Brady, the same thing. Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady have been together for – I mean, Brady's been running the same exact offense from a verbiage standpoint since he's been there. So he has never had to change over and learn a whole new playbook. Drew Brees has been building on this playbook and building on the verbiage and the language, the formations, for over a decade. Those are things that help you become the best at your craft, and it's why we're seeing the great numbers that he's putting up year in and year out.
That's a great point. So we're going to wrap it up with this. And with all that said, and you made a great argument why Eli is struggling and why those guys are not, if Drew Brees is on the Giants and everything else remains the same, are the Giants 1-7?
I think there's a good possibility because even Drew Brees can't get away from sacks up inside. Drew Brees does a good job of stepping up in the pocket and moving around when he has a depth. When you look at the guards that he's had, Larry Warford's playing phenomenal right now. The right guard they picked up in free agency. He had Carl Nix, Jari Evans for a long time. He's always had some good guards. That's one of the problems with this. And when I look, I've gone back and looked at every all 31 of the sacks that Eli has dealt with, and so many of them are up the middle pressure. I mean, it started in the preseason. The very first game against the Cleveland Browns, they brought a cross-dog blitz in the A-gap, and Jalapio could not pick it up. The center, they couldn't pass it off between the center and guard, and they've seen that blitz almost every single week. I look back at the Washington game. There were 7 sacks in that game. 5 of those sacks were on first and second down. So there's a lot of issues with this offense all around, but the inside pressure is that's a death sentence for any quarterback. I don't care who you are. You can't get away from that.
Listen, Sean, you are great, and it's great to get an offensive lineman's perspective because you know you're in the trenches every single down, and you know things that, you know, an analyst, they don't know. They just don't know. So it's great to talk to you. You're always great and always great with me. So better luck in the second half with Rutgers and the Giants, and come back again. We love you, pal. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
All right, man. Sean O'Hara, check him out, of course, NFL Network, ESPN, Giant Games as well. We'll take a short break. More of Sid Sports Sunday right here on 77 WABC, right after these short messages.
This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda, every Sunday, 77 WABC.
Off now about 3 hours, well, 2.5 hours away, I should say. Jet fans driving out to MetLife right now. 3-6 Jets taking on the 2-7 Buffalo Bills. We'll talk to Peter Schwartz about that game momentarily. Folks, chance to win something right now on Sid Sports Sunday, the 3rd annual Never Forget Tribute Classic at Prudential Center on Saturday, December the 8th, featuring a doubleheader of men's college hoops, which is underway. Army and Duke, by the way, later on today on this happy Veterans Day. Clemson will take on Mississippi State, Florida State, UConn. 4-6:30 starts. Visit PrueCenter.com/NFTC2018 to purchase tickets. Use the code RADIO10 for 10% off the tickets. Right now, you'll win a pair for great college basketball by calling 212-268-WABC. That's 212-268-9222. Be caller number 8 from Mike Gunzelman. More chances to win at WABCRadio.com. A shout out to one of my good buddies in this business. Used to produce Mike Francesa's show, that jerk. Now he's working with Christopher Mad Dog Russo, Eddie Erickson, listening in this morning, and a Bernie and Sid favorite. I'm his favorite as well, Joe Salamino, celebrating a birthday today. So shout out to those guys. Of course, big news all across the world of sports. The Jimmy Butler trade. How about that, folks? The Toronto Raptors have lost once, I think, this year. Blew out the Knicks last night. I think they're 12-1 with Kawhi Leonard leading the way. Boston Celtics, very, very good. But Philadelphia's been really sluggish. In fact, Stephen A. Smith told me on this show 2 weeks ago he's been disappointed. But you add Jimmy Butler to Simmons and Embiid, that threesome, I think, makes Philly the team to beat. So that is a huge story. Plus, it means Jimmy ain't coming to the Knicks. So Kyrie Irving wants to stay in Boston. He's not coming. Jimmy's going to stay in Philly. He's not coming. So now we'll see if Kevin Durant and or, well, I guess anybody else out there, or maybe Kawhi Leonard, maybe want to come to the Garden, play for the Knicks next year. College football, Alabama gets another shutout. Unbelievable year for that team. Tua did get hurt, so that may mean some danger here for the Crimson Tide, but consecutive shutouts over LSU and Mississippi State. Also, Notre Dame remains unbeaten. Clemson remains unbeaten. So does UCF, but nobody cares about them. Anyway, big, big college football setting up for a great postseason. But it is a Week 10 in the NFL, which did start on Thursday night, and the Pittsburgh Steelers look great. They're now at 6-2-1. They put up a 52 spot on Carolina on Thursday. 5 more touchdowns for Ben Roethlisberger. You know, if Le'Veon Bell doesn't show up by Tuesday, he will not be allowed to play the rest of the year. I don't think the Steelers care. They got James Conner. They got Roethlisberger. They're 6-2-1. They're right there with Kansas City and New England as the best teams inside the conference. Again, they scored 52 on Thursday. I think they're going to be okay. We do call this Around the League, brought to you by our dear friend Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boilers. They do, in fact, build America's best boiler. Go online to peerlessboilers.com. put in your zip code, and you'll find a friendly dealer near you. It's getting cold out there, folks. It's cold here today. Remember, Peerless is America's best-built boiler. Game number one, I just mentioned it. A lot of you guys on the way to the stadium right now listening to Sid Sports Sunday at MetLife. The Jets, so much promise a couple of weeks ago. Sam Darnold looked great, saying nice things about Todd Bowles. Now Darnold is hurt, and Bowles is on the hot seat again. The Jets at 3-6, hosting the Bills at 2-7. Both teams with big-time rookie quarterbacks, neither will play today. Peter Schwartz, fresh off celebrating his son's bar mitzvah just last night. That's right, is live at MetLife Stadium with an update on the Bills and the Jets. Peter, mazel tov, pal. How are you?
I'm doing great, Sid, and thank you. And the Jets hope to have the same kind of mazel my son Bradley had last night at his bar mitzvah. We'll see what happens today. You know, the last time that Matt Barkley played in the NFL was in the season finale for the Bears in 2016. But he gets the start for the Bills today at quarterback against the Jets. And you mentioned, of course, Sam Darnold is out, so Josh McCown will get the start. Last year's starter back in the saddle for the Jets today. And the Jets also getting good news defensively with the return of cornerback Trumaine Johnson today. He is back. He missed five games with a quad injury. Wide receiver Quincy Enunwa good to go despite the ankle injury, but the Jets also down two other offensive starters with the exception, in addition to Sam Darnold today, Robbie Anderson and Spencer Long listed as doubtful during the week. They're not going to play, so it's the Jets taking on the Bills. It's coming up at 1 o'clock at MetLife Stadium. For Sid Sports Sunday, I'm Peter Schwartz. Now back to Sid in the studio.
Thank you, Peter. Last look, the Jets about a 7.5-point favorite, which I guess when you've got McCown, he did win games last year. A lot of people like the under in that football game today, about 37 in New Jersey on a cold day this afternoon with two backup quarterbacks. Hey, big one out in Los Angeles today. The Rams did suffer their first loss of the season at the hands of Drew Brees and the Saints last week. Still looked very good, even in a loss. Find themselves at 8-1 hosting the Seattle Seahawks, who are 4-4. These two teams usually play very, very close games. And as my friend Scott Kaplan, my very first radio partner ever back in the 1990s, now hosting afternoons on the mighty 1090 alongside Billy Ray Smith in San Diego, is about to tell you, a very emotional week with the shooting in Los Angeles. It's the Rams hosting the Seahawks. Here is Scott Kaplan. Good morning, Scott.
Well, good morning, Sydney. It is very early here in Southern California. And as you mentioned, when the Seahawks and the Rams play, they usually play close games. Week 5 earlier this season, 33-31 Rams over the Seahawks in Seattle. This is it for Seattle. They're 4-4, as you mentioned. It's now or never for Seattle. You either win and get back in somehow to the playoff picture, or you lose and the rest of the schedule is going to crush the Seahawks. They've got problems at the running back position. Chris Carson, their second-year running back, seventh-round draft choice out of Oklahoma State, is injured, not likely to play. They want to run the ball so much, Seattle, and another problem for them is that their offensive guard, DJ Fluker, is hurt, and who knows, he's questionable right now. So you got problems in the running game for Seattle. On the L.A. side, though, Sid, look for a very emotional week. As you well know, there was a massacre here in Thousand Oaks. There's the massive fires that are going on. All of this impacts the immediate area right around where the Rams call home and where they train up in the Thousand Oaks area. So a very emotional game today for the Rams. Andrew Whitworth, their offensive lineman, the captain of that group, has donated his game check to all of the victims' families of the shooting. So it's going to be an emotional day in Los Angeles. You got Pete Carroll returning. You got a desperate Seattle team. You've got an L.A. team that's going to go on the road at Mexico City next week and play Kansas City. So L.A. looking to get back on the winning side. 9-point home favorites, but like you say, these two teams usually play very close games. Back to you, Sid.
All right, thank you, Scotty. A couple of games. We've got four more stringers standing by, including Russ Salzburg live in studio for the Giants and the Niners, that we do not have stringers at today. One is a red-hot Matt Ryan and the Falcons in Cleveland for an ice-cold Baker Mayfield and the Browns, who, of course, fired their coach 2 weeks ago. Take a good look at that one. Maybe the best game of the day features Drew Brees, who right now, I believe, is the league MVP. He's right there with Pat Mahomes in Cincinnati. This is a very good football game. Saints at the Bengals. Bengals playing pretty good football. Do not have their big-time wide receiver today. Green is out. That should be a pretty good game. The first-place Redskins in Tampa Bay taking on the Buccaneers. One game to keep an eye on is the Chargers. They've been playing very good football in Oakland, where they're a double-digit favorite against John Gruden's really pathetic Oakland Raiders. And Leonard Fournette back today for Jacksonville. They started off the year great.
They were one play away from going to the Super Bowl last year. They've been awful the last 5 weeks. They come off the bye. Fournette is back today for the Jaguars in Indianapolis against the Colts. All right, next game up is in Tennessee. The Pats have been red hot, now find themselves at 7-2. Tom Brady has been terrific. Tennessee comes off a big win, too. They beat the Cowboys on Monday night, even up their record at 4-4 on the season. Terry McCormack is with TitansInsider.com, and he's live at Nissan Stadium. It's the Titans hosting the Patriots. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Sid. This here at Nissan Stadium, a very nice day. High is supposed to be in the low 50s, a little cooler than expected, but no other weather issues. The Titans are 4-4 and have the best red zone defense in the league. They've allowed only 141 points through 8 games. Their problem has been they haven't been able to score consistently. They've only scored 134 points. The Patriots won't have Rob Gronkowski today for Tom Brady to throw to, but they've still got plenty of other weapons, and that'll be a challenge for the Titans. As you know, lots of Titans and Patriots connections. Since John Robinson became GM here in Tennessee, head coach Mike Vrabel formerly played for the Patriots. Four different players on the New England, former New England players now with Tennessee, including Malcolm Butler, who signed a big contract with the Titans after his Super Bowl benching. He has been torched a lot this year. Look for Tom Brady and the Patriots to try and target him as much as possible. And Butler certainly wants to show that he was worthy of a big contract that he never got from New England.
All right, thank you, Terry McCormack in Tennessee. Lambeau Field today, the Packers trying to even up their record at 4-4-1. Aaron Rodgers with a losing record, yet the Dolphins really stink, by the way. They're 5-4. Somehow the Dolphins have a better record than Green Bay. I think Aaron is probably angry. Ryan Wood, WSSP, is at Lambeau Field, where once again, it's the Pack taking on the Dolphins. Good morning, Ryan.
This is Ryan Wood from the frozen tundra in Green Bay, where the Miami Dolphins have the better record at 5-4, but the 3-4-1 Packers are the heavy favorite. Losers in three of their past four games, the Packers have arrived at must-win time in their 2018 season. They're in the midst of a brutal stretch on their schedule, with the Thursday night trip to Seattle looming later this week after traveling to the Los Angeles Rams and New England Patriots the past 2 weeks. Could they possibly overlook the team with the more wins on their docket? It won't be easy for Miami, as backup Brock Osweiler makes his fifth straight start in place of Ryan Tannehill. It's Osweiler's second trip to the Lambeau Field, his first coming in a 21-13 Packers win late in the 2016 season. With their season slipping away, the Packers better hope they can duplicate history today. For Sid Sports Sunday, this is Ryan Wood. Back to you, Sid.
Thank you, Ryan. Packers and Dolphins. Great NFC East rivalry. Always a big game. Reigning Super Bowl champion, 4-4, Philadelphia Eagles. Got to get back to work here in the second half. Taking on a Dallas team that gets Amari Cooper, jumps out to an early lead Monday night against Tennessee and loses. They're at 3-5, and no matter what Jerry Jones says, you got to think Jason Garrett is in big trouble. This is a big football game tonight at the Link, 8:20 start. Sunday Night Football, one of the best talk show hosts in the country, Harry Mays, is live in Philly where the Eagles are set to host the Cowboys. Good morning, Harry.
Oh, good morning, Sid. The Jimmy Butler celebration is on hold until tomorrow because it's what we call Dallas Week here in Philadelphia as the 4-4 Eagles host the 3-5 Cowboys. Tonight marks the debut of Golden Tate in an Eagles uniform. He'll be wearing number 19. He joins a group of primarily slot receivers with Nelson Agholor and Jordan Matthews, all who excel from that position. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Doug Peterson employs this group. But Tate's game will be an extension of the Eagles' run game. And he's already burned the Cowboys this season for 132 yards on 8 catches, including 2 touchdowns back in Week 4 with the Lions. Dallas coming off a short week, having lost 2 straight, including last Monday night to Tennessee, where they were shut out in the second half. Look for a heavy dose of Ezekiel Elliott tonight simply because the Cowboys really have trouble stretching the field, and Zeke is averaging 4.6 a carry. Injuries include Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson. He's listed as questionable, but will go, battling an MCL injury to his knee. Lane's going to have his hands full tonight with DeMarcus Lawrence, one of the premier pass rushers in the league. He has 6.5 sacks on the season and a forced fumble. And also make note, Carson Wentz has fumbled the ball in every game this season. Now, the Eagles will also be down 2 defensive backs as Jalen Mills and Sidney Jones are out. Also, Darren Sproles will miss his 8th straight with a hamstring. Now, interesting note here, Peterson said earlier this week that Sproles was good to go, so they released punt returner DeAndre Carter, who was immediately snatched up by the Texans, only to have Sproles re-injure the hamstring. So the thought is that Golden Tate will be on punt returner duty tonight. Dallas will be without Sean Lee again. Also, left guard Connor Williams, defensive tackle David Irving, wide receiver Tavon Austin, and defensive end Taco Charlton are also out for the Cowboys. Been a long time since the Eagles have won at home. Prior to this season, the Birds under Peterson were dominant at the Link, but not so this year. They're 2-2 at home and haven't won since September the 23rd, week 3 over the Colts. But the home crowd looking for a performance similar to last year off the bye as the Eagles crushed the boys 37-9 in Dallas. Eagles a healthy 7.5-point fave, and the total sitting at 44. Going to be cold but clear tonight with temperatures in the 30s. Reporting from Philadelphia for Sid Sports Sunday, I'm Harry Mays.
Thank you, Harry. Talking about the Jimmy Butler celebration, I'm not saying it's Moses Malone, Andrew Toney, Mo Cheeks, and Julius Erving, but and I know that Mutombo and Iverson got to one NBA Finals and lost to Shaq, but pretty exciting, that threesome they put together. So after the Eagles beat the Cowboys tonight, and they will, the 76ers become a big story in Philadelphia tomorrow. Last game tomorrow night, Giants and 49ers. Monday Night Football. Giants are a dog in this. They're 1-7. The Niners are 2-7. WABC's very own New York legend, Channel 5, Channel 9, WFAN. Everybody loves him. Russ Salzburg live in studio today. Russ, Giants and Niners coming up tomorrow night.
Good morning, Sydney. Well, following yesterday's final practice for the game, Giants head coach Pat Shurmur was asked his thoughts of Odell Beckham Jr.'s goal for the second half of the season, that is, winning all 8 games and getting into the playoffs at 9-7. Shurmur's reply was simple. Sounds great, everybody, but right now I'm worried about winning the first game, which is, of course, tomorrow night against the Niners. And as my dear friend Yogi Berra used to say, it's deja vu all over again. Last year, Giants go into Frisco on November 12th with a record of 1-7. Tomorrow night, again on November 12th, they go into Frisco again with a record of 1-7. And with hopes of not repeating last year's loss, a big change has been made. A 340-pound change. Jamon Brown, acquired on waivers from the L.A. Rams during their bye week, will start at right guard, pushing John Greco back on a bench. And in another move, Patrick Omame, who started the season at right guard, was cut by the Giants yesterday. Bottom line is this, and Sid, your interview with Sean O'Hara nailed it. The O-line must improve big time. We all know about Eli Manning throwing just 8 touchdowns this season while being sacked 31 times, but get a load of this. Of Saquon Barkley's 519 rushing yards, 266 of them have come on just 7 runs, while his other 104 carries have produced 253 yards. So opponents simply don't respect the Giants' running game, allowing them to concentrate on defending Eli Manning in the passing game. To quote head coach Pat Shurmur prior to the season, we'll go as far as the offensive line will take us. Well, to date, 1-7 is not far at all. For Sid Sports Sunday, I'm Russ Salzburg.
Russ, terrific job. Nice having you in studio today. I want to thank, as always, Isaiah. Great job. Bruce Clayton running the board. Excellent, excellent job. And the best producer in the business. Another bang-up week, Gunsy. Mike Gunzelman, terrific job as well. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow morning at 6, the best morning show in New York City. It's Bernie and Sid in the Morning right here on 77 WABC. Until then, enjoy your football Sunday for a week 10. Happy